Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I am so excited to have you guys here with me today, and I have an awesome guest. So I would love to welcome Kim Russo to the podcast. Thank you, Kim, so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited because the last time we spoke, we went way over
It was so much fun. You guys, I love these kinds of conversations. So Kim, thank you so much again for being here today. We'll do our best to stay on time as we flow through the conversation. But for all of our guests out there, all of our listeners, please do us all a favor then, Kim, and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Yeah. So my name is Kim Russo. I'm owner of On Brand Designs. We're a creative agency located in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been here for 5 years officially and love it down here, growing and building my business. I also have a course for creatives like myself who are looking to be profitable in their branding business and didn't go to school for the businessy things. And so kind of gotten here is I've always been a lifelong creative. I kind of say my childhood trauma story is that I suffered from middle child syndrome. great family, but I had an older sister that needed some special attention. And then my brother was the baby, so he got the sports, you know, and attention that way. Now, great upbringing, great parents, but I do think that a lot of that independence and creating. So I took a lot of that time to color, draw. I always had this gift of being creative and naturally had to lead that into a career. I think it was also a sense of validation too. So kind of being in that middle child position and wanting to get attention and validation and showing all these like colorings and crafts that I did, which I still am a painter on the side and do jewelry making and crafts, and give me a seashell and some time and I'd love to paint it.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I grew up in upstate New York and went to New York City for college and fell into packaging design and loved kind of the hustle bustle of New York City and had these dreams of climbing the corporate ladder, and was there and kind of fizzled out that dream into wanting to be an entrepreneur and have my own thing. And more so because I didn't like the politics of corporate, but I always second guessed myself about being an entrepreneur because I didn't know businessy things. I literally took only art classes my senior year of high school, you know, went to an art school, FIT in New York, and you know, had other aspects of business in the different companies that I was with, but mostly I had my role and that's what I did. And, you know, took a, took working with somebody in a print shop to really get all aspects of the business, where I was like, okay, I think I can do this on my own and teach myself how to run a business and still be creative and do what I love.
I love that you took something that you love so much though, and you were able to eventually turn it into a business. And it's so funny that, you know, you talk about being the middle child. So I'm the oldest, but what is really funny, and I was kind of giggling to myself as you were sharing your story, is my middle sister is super creative. She's like super crafty. She loves to make things. She loves to design things. And my mom will go to give me some of those things. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Wrong daughter. I don't play with that. I'm like, I let her do it. And then I take the things that she makes for me. I'm like, that's not my strong suit. I'm not.
Maybe it's a middle child syndrome, like right. Default. What's the right word I'm thinking of? Like a syndrome of it. I don't know. Like right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I think it's so funny because she is super creative and she can see things and they're so pretty and they're so unique. And I just look at it and go, yeah. So like my husband is more what I consider creative than I am creative in regards to systems, right? Mm-hmm. Everything has a place and stuff like that. I am creative when it comes to my singing. That's one of my secret passions. So I can be creative in that aspect, but ask me to look at something and like make it look pretty, it's not going to happen because everything's going to have to fit in a specific box that aligns with another box that then overlaps. Like there has to have patterns. I even had to have my husband come in and help me do my office because I was like, I can't do it. It looks off.
Well, it's funny you said that because I joke sometimes. I mean, I'm so much more than this, but I joke. I just make things look pretty because my biggest thing in, you know, branding is I am a graphic designer. I create graphics. You know, I don't mm-hmm. do writing. I do messaging to an extent. I don't do marketing. I do design for marketing. But so to make people understand that I am really the creative force behind the graphics of something, a website, mm-hmm. whatever. So I say I make things look pretty to simplify it.
I love that. But you know, what's really unique about this is, you know, you used your journey and the things that you enjoyed. And it sounds like you really were able to kind of put things in boxes of like what you really enjoy doing. And then like what you know that like, I mean, I could, but it's fine. Right. Because I feel like, especially for us, when we get into the entrepreneurial world, we have a really hard time like focusing in on like, you know what, I am really freaking fantastic at this. So I'm just going to focus on this and build from there, right? Like I do see a lot of entrepreneurs that feel like this one thing or this specific focus is not enough. And mm-hmm. so we try to bring in these other things that like we're good at and yes, we can do. And at the same time, we really get sick of it a lot quicker than that one thing or those two things that we just really, really enjoy doing.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I also suffered from that before and I was trying to figure out how to, you know, I'm a yes person. I'm a people pleaser to the core. I want to figure everything out. And, you know, a few years ago, I taught myself web design because I did go to school for packaging design and I worked in packaging for over 10 years. And when I started to go more into the branding side, really had to go in and teach myself these things. And so when people come to me, well, do you do SEO? Do you do writing? Do you do this? I would say yes and try to figure it out. But I'm doing a disservice to myself and to whoever I was working with because I wasn't able to do it to the level I can do design. And then when I would outsource it, you know, in a way that wasn't really figured out now, which I have power partners for those things. It put too much pressure and work on me. So I tried to learn SEO and it was just, my brain couldn't figure it out. So I'm like, let me send somebody to an SEO expert. But what I will say is in trying to figure out if I could do all these things and add all these services to my business, that yes, they make sense together, but it's too much for me myself to take on or even direct somebody. Is that I've learned so much along the way. So I can build a website confidently knowing that I'm setting it up well enough so that an SEO specialist can come in after or work alongside me to mm-hmm. make sure that I'm optimizing my images correctly, that I'm paying attention to what would be somewhat ADA compliant, that I'm also, you know, making sure things are legible. And, you know, so I've got an ex- an extensive knowledge of these things to be able to do my job better, but I don't want to do it or say that I do it.
You bring up such a good point though about having, you know, you use power partners, and I love this. So having these referral partners, having these people that can enhance what it is that you already do. And not only is that enhancing your business, but you are also enhancing somebody else's business. And I think that is so much more powerful in the space of being an entrepreneur versus, I feel, what kind of is like the old belief, the old paradigm, which is like, you should know it all and you should have it all and you should be like this one platform. And it, I think that it creates sometimes an unhealthy competition between those that run very parallel with our business or slightly overlap, and saying like, hey, I can do this portion, and to make sure that I'm getting you like the best of the best, I'm also going to send you here. And I think that I'm seeing, and I'd love your opinion too, I think that we're seeing that clients are appreciating that 10 times more than them coming to one person and that one person say, I can fix all of your problems.
I think a lot of it is just being honest. Honesty goes a long way. And so not that I wasn't being dishonest by saying yes to everything. I really genuinely wanted to learn and figure it out and solve all of the problems. But being honest now, sometimes I still do that. I figure things out and I learn it, but I'm being honest. Hey, I haven't done this before, so I'm going to have to figure this out a little bit or get some help in doing this. Just so the expectations are clear. And, you know, I've even had just somebody respond to an email yesterday and saying that I've been the most responsive designer they've ever worked with. And I pride myself on that because I've had so many people look down on creatives and designers for not being responsive. And it happens where we get involved in all the work that we've got going on and getting in that creative zone. But being upfront with what you can do, can't do, and timing has been such a big impact on my business and how I work with my clients and serve them. You know, if I am going to be taking, I need an extra week, let them know and just be honest instead of not saying anything at all.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think figuring out or finding somebody that can help you, but letting the client know that, you know, you're in good hands with this person or this is the next step. And for me too, I mean, I've got great power partners that are necessary to come in before me to help ensure that I can produce the best brand or outcome from their journey. So,
yeah. Well, I think it takes like this beautiful, like collective brain to be able to see things from every angle, right? Because we all have our own perspective. And while a lot of us, especially in the entrepreneurial space, like we tend to be able to see things in a couple of different scenarios, there's always somebody else that might see something slightly different that you didn't catch that you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That makes so much more sense. Or that's going to make what I'm doing 10 times easier because I never would have thought to pick their brain about this, or I never would have thought to dive into this piece like you did. So you're right. It's being honest. It's setting healthy boundaries. And it's also letting go of your ego as well, right? And being able to say confidently, and that's a huge one that I think people don't think about, is there's a total difference in your tone when you are conversating with someone, right? And that confidence goes a long way. So if you are conversating with someone and you're like, you know, yeah, I've never done this before, but I'm sure that I can figure it out, versus I do not have all the answers to this one. I've actually never been in the system. However, I know that I can figure it out. It's just going to take me a little bit of extra time. Are you okay with that? Like same sentence, same direction, but the tone behind it is where the power, I feel like, comes from. Mm-hmm. And then it's your responsibility, obviously, to stay true to your word. But I love that, you know, like you said, being able to let people know where you stand and being honest in that regard, because then you allow them to consciously make the choice of, do you want to continue this? Like, I'm totally fine with it. I know that I can do it, but because I haven't done this, it's going to take me a little bit longer. And you allow them to then say, oh, no, that's totally fine, because they trust you. Or, you know what, actually, I was really hoping I had this. And I was kind of hoping, okay, well, great. You know, I actually may know somebody, so I'll send you there. And I think that, in my personal opinion, I love your perspective on this too, when you are able to do that, those people that you have talked with, worked with, or referred to other places because you were not in the space to be able to handle it, creates beautiful collaborations. And mm-hmm. those people are going to still refer you because of your integrity.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And some people work with me just because they know of how, like, I love to share also other people, what other people have going on in their business. Whether it's a masterclass, a 5-day challenge, a new offer, you know, because it gets reciprocated too. So it's building each other up and it's creating this community. And then it's like, okay, this person is doing this for me so much. Like, I'm going to go to them first before going to somebody else. And so having a good network of, you know, most of my network is female, but I do have some partners that are not, but I just happen to, I build my business so much. And the biggest impact I had was being around these communities of women that supported each other, became power partners, and really, you know, helped lift each other up and help each other in things that we were lacking in, or, you know, just mentoring too is a good thing that, like, even teaching me how to respond to situations or set up, you know, power partners want to have a friend who or client who is a lawyer and need her to recheck my contracts, you know, just things like that to make sure that everything is buttoned up. But I think also too, you know, I could spend hours and hours and hours, which I do sometimes, trying to figure something out, let's say in WordPress, that I'm a designer and I understand code to an extent and get very frustrated with something not working. Or I could tell my client, hey, let's get everything that I can do done. And then once it's finalized, I have a programmer that does coding and I'm going to have him do it. And so that's actually helped a lot too. So they understand timing wise too, that it's going to take a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. This is why this edit's not done yet, because I have to rely on somebody else for that help. But you know, and being honest too, like when it's a team, I have a team when I'm working on it, when somebody else is working on it. So they know what to expect. So
yeah, that's a big thing too. Communication, I think, is definitely key. And I think that being upfront with people, you do find that if something took a little bit longer or something happened personally, and so therefore you're backed up on some things, like being honest and having that conversation and letting people know, not that you have to let them know details. I'm not saying that, everybody, but just saying like, hey, I had some things out of my control this week, so I actually didn't get a chance to work on what I said I was going to. So it's going to take me a tad bit longer. I've never had anyone come back at me and be like, well, this is bullshit, or I can't believe you couldn't do that. Right. Like people understand. And I think the more that we allow that space for others when things happen with them, then more people allow that space with us as well. And it's just like this really like beautiful give and take. And I also say that, and this is something I had to learn the hard way as well, because I was a people pleaser and I'm still recovering, but I wanted to like give, right? I wanted to make sure it was like amazing and it was great. And it was like completely over delivered of what they thought. And I had a friend of mine that said, under promise, over deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, okay, yeah, that makes always. Sense. Because think about how many times, I know even in my, like the earlier days of my business where I was working on someone's stuff and they sent me stuff like, oh yeah, no problem. I can definitely get that done. I'll have it done by today. And then I'm like, I look at my day and go, I have zero time in my day. What was I thinking? So now I either have to go back on my word, tell them that I wasn't able to, or I have to stay up late to then be a part of what I promised, because now I'm upset with my own integrity. And it's like knowing your limits and then giving yourself a little bit of space right in between can make a huge difference. And then when things do happen, it's a lot easier to have that conversation because you didn't make this huge promise in the beginning that you knew fit into a tight timeline. You gave yourself a little bit of grace. And I think that, especially for me, that's made things a lot easier and things have worked out a lot better. And I've figured out that I'm able to fit things more in my timeline when I say, ah, you know what? I think I have the time, but let's go ahead and add this. And then usually I don't need it, but it's just that little bit of cushion that I think really
buffer.
Helps.
the buffer to kind of get it all done. Well, I think too, so, you know, and I'm sure it's the same with you, but I think when I work with the clients, people, I'm not a salesperson, but I'm a relationship person and I like to build relationships with people. And so naturally, whenever I work with a client, especially when we're in like the thick of their branding, it is a, and websites too, it is a very comfortable relationship for the most part. You know, it's a trusting relationship. It's, I end up becoming friends with most of them. We'll stay on, you know, Zoom, or we'll meet in person and we'll be chit chatting and they have to get back into things. But, you know, and some of my favorite clients, we end up texting and, you know, I might not be able to respond right away. And it's, you know, maybe some unhealthy boundaries, but I just enjoy that time so much when I'm working with a client, and mm-hmm. getting to know them even more helps the creative process. And, you know, and it's not every single project, but there's a relationship building and it's getting to know them. And that's also the deciding factor if they're going to work with me, or if I'm going to work with them, besides my work level and my experience, is that relationship and having that being comfortable enough with them to say, hey, you know, just feeling not creative today, but I have so many great ideas, so give me one more day. Or, but it's rare that I have to do that, because I do give a buffer and a sense of a timeline. I also have VIP days now too, so if somebody does want it a little more expedited, where I create a collaborative process, so rather than a lot of back and forth, there's a concentrated time together where we're doing strategy and they're kind of getting a backseat behind the curtains to my process, because mm-hmm. I'm doing the process with them. I'm doing the Pinterest search to get the reactions and get their, you know, read their body language and understand them. Now, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to get it all done in a day, because there is post-work and pre-work, but it cuts down on that time too. And also that time is dedicated to that person. I turn off all notifications, you know, share my screen, cast it to the TV. I am like theirs
for that time. Focus.
Yeah. it. Which it helps me too, because it's the same thing I would do without them there, but I'm getting their feedback. It's collaborative. I'm, you know, and it's not the process for everybody. You have to really know what you want and understand the process too, and that it is a process. But it's such a fun experience and has such good results when, you know, it's with the right person and the right project. So yeah, that's something that I definitely enjoy and intend to do more in the future. But I always do, you know, going back to that relationship building and communication, is like, I always try to get them, know them as best I can to understand who they are. Cause a lot of the times I'm working with small businesses where it's a personal brand too. And so reflecting, like having their, whether it's not their personality, but if it's something that they're attracted to or like, I try to bring into it as much as possible while still being able to stay in alignment with who their target audience is and who they're trying to attract and their goals for their business. So it's kind of like pulling from all these things to get this final outcome.
It's a lot. I mean, when I did my rebranding with my company, I didn't realize how much went into it. And I was very blessed to have an awesome digital marketer, which, by the way, she was on my podcast. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Y'all should go find her. But it was really awesome. And she was so sweet at walking me through the process. And one of the things that her and I talked about was, like you were just saying, people don't really understand like what that process means and what it actually takes. So if you could give some tidbits to people of like mm-hmm. things that you wish they would have known that you see that most people are not aware of, what would be like the top three or four of those items?
As far as my process, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that people don't maybe not understand how simple it can be.
Yeah, I complicated mine a lot.
So it can be very simple. And the most successful, actually, logos in my mind and with my clients, I've only done one option, maybe two. Because the process, although it to some doesn't make sense, it's simple, it's impactful. So I have mm-hmm. a strategy process. So one is just knowing your audience and your competition. So that's an easy thing to figure out and kind of analyze that. And then know your goals. What are your goals for your company or your business? Plays a huge impact. And then I also look at psychology of color. And that, I'm going to say the word manipulated, but not in a bad way. So first I always go to like, what is somebody being attracted to? What is my client? Like, figure out the colors that you love. So for me, teal. Teal is my color. This is actually only one of two things I have in this color. I don't wear it a lot, but everything is teal. And my brand is teal. It's my favorite color. I identify with it. So to me, to justify using that color, I looked into the psychology of color and what it meant. Also the idea that I love being near the ocean and sea, and it's my personal brand. But also green means other things that I can also associate that with. And then I'm using black and white to elevate the brand and make it a little bit more luxurious. Because I am trying to, and have worked towards mostly attracting a higher end clientele. So that's where I kind of look with. So understanding why you're picking a color, like you could love purple, but maybe purple doesn't make sense for your brand, for who you're trying to attract. But maybe because you love purple so much, we can look at that color wheel, see all the different meanings of purple, and maybe there's a shade of purple that makes sense that could be an accent color or incorporated in your brand somehow. So yeah, I think understanding that color doesn't have to be so black and white, for lack of a better term, but understanding it is a really good, and it's a simple process. You can figure that out and make a list and look up the color wheel, and we can figure that out quickly and move on to the next. And then I guess, I don't know how many I gave, but three or four would be understanding what you like and, recognizing what gives you certain emotions. So I have a course for designers that also teaches this whole process in there, and I have them do that, this process on their brand, so that they can do it for their clients. But I also get my clients engaged, whether I am doing a VIP day or we're doing it together, or I'm doing it, sending them a Loom video to explain to them how to contribute. So I can put so much on there. What I feel visually is something that you're going to have a reaction to that is good based off of a questionnaire that I always ask for my clients. But when I get your input, it is so much better. So don't think about it too hard. I always say go through Pinterest. I mean, you can do Google, but I think Pinterest is more, can be more aligned, especially visually. But just start making a board that is stuff that resonates with you. Like, it doesn't have to be so literal. And I think that's where people start to get down a rabbit hole of like being so literal into trying to find an image. Like, create a lifestyle. If you like the beach, add the beach in there. If you if your target audience is somebody who is in their 30s and they like to have private jets and all that, like put that in there. If they like to read Vogue, like put those images in there and just start building this collection where you're not overthinking it. You're just putting anything in there that you have a feeling that it caught your eye or it makes sense. And then we can dissect from there. But it's so much more simple than people think. And then when they see it, they're like, that's it. it's a fun process, and you could spend days and days. I mean, I'll go through a Pinterest rabbit hole of clients because I have a Pinterest board for a lot of my clients, and then I'll do it with them. But, you know, even like font styles, logo styles, just having an understanding and seeing it all visually together is how that process goes. Now, the fact that I'm able to then get it into like a one option logo, sometimes two, is that goes back to just me being a creative person and having that visual aesthetic where I can see all of that. Also keep in mind any keywords or things that we've come up with to then create the brand for you. But I think people sometimes overthink it too. So I think, yeah, it can be so simple.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with that one. I overthought mine so much, and I had to get to the point to where, like you were just saying, you look at it from an emotion standpoint and then like make a quick decision. So when I was redoing my logo, I kind of had some ideas. And then what I found was the more that I stared at the ideas, the more I started picking them apart. And so I had to get to the point to where I would like, I like walked away for a couple hours and came back and I was like, okay, this. And then I like trashed everything else. And I did have to get to the point to where even with my logo and my colors, because I like a lot of colors. Yeah. So I can be all over the place. Like I really had to look at it and give my first reaction. Mm-hmm. And so that was how I assessed it as well. So like, as soon as my marketer would send me something, I'd be like, okay, this is what happened. This is immediately what I thought. This is immediately how I felt. And then I would get off of it. Yeah. And that helped so, so much, especially for someone like me that can go really analytical, like really quick. I was like, oh, but this doesn't look centered, but I guess it's not supposed to be centered, but like, it's driving me crazy because it's not like it's here and it's not there. Yeah. And so like,
well, like the little things like being centers of that can all be judged, but you're the basic like concept. I'm always like quick decisions, follow your intuition. I mean, I work on that with, you know, I've worked with coaches and people to help me understand my intuition, but your first gut reaction is, you know, usually right. And also, you know, for something that's visual, your website, your logo, your brand, anything, people only have 3 seconds to make an opinion on you. So you might as well only have 3 seconds to make an opinion on yourself too. So,
that's a really good tip. Like super, super good tip. Yeah, definitely.
Now, I'm not saying make a decision in 3 seconds on your full entire brand, but you have to keep in mind that people are getting a quick get, then maybe they'll analyze you later, but they're going to get to know you. That's the first thing that they see and get the window into you. So what's that first gut reaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you one thing that I did that I thought was really, really interesting that I found funny. And so now I use it a lot was if I was really stuck on like 3 or 4 things, like I did when I updated my, podcast graphics. And I was like, oh, but I like this, but like, I like this. So what I did was I sent it out to like 8 or 10 friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, tell me which ones you like, and then tell me why. And what I found super funny was as they were telling me why, if there was something said in there that I disagreed with, and I kept going back to it to like correct. And I'm like, yeah, but because of, I was like, okay, well then that's the one I obviously need to choose because that's the one that I keep defending. So it's really interesting to see like how you kind of have already made a decision. And at the same time, your brain is like fumbling through all these like, what if options. And I found that super funny that if somebody went against something that I apparently really liked, I was quick to defend it more than the other ones. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, that's the one that I should go with.
Yeah, polls can be really interesting. So I sometimes for certain clients, I do recommend them if they just can't decide. Because in my typical branding process, if I'm not doing a VIP day, I'm doing at least 4, maybe 5 options because I'm not that I'm guessing, but I'm not having as much concentrated time with you. And I want to give somebody a variety that they could say, okay, I love this font from option 1, but I like the way that you did it in option 3. Right now I have a logo. She loved all 5 and I'm taking 4 of them and combining them into 1.
Wow.
But my biggest thing too is like eliminate first. Don't show all of them to, if you're really feeling stuck, which is a good thing to happen for me because you like so many things. But if you really feel like you can't decide, eliminate. And I always say, you're not going to hurt my feelings if we eliminate. This is not, you know, this is not what this is about. This is trying to get to your identity and figure out what's best for you. And we always can tweak a little bit here and there, but I say narrow down because when you have too many options, especially, you know, I even sometimes will do 10 logos or 6, 7 logos and, or my team will do a couple, I'll do a couple and I'll narrow it down as best I can and have some of those in the back pocket just in case something that resonated with them. But too many options create too much confusion and not enough, you know, definition. And this is that feeling because you're, you know, you're confused. So when you ask too many people, it can be kind of like too many cooks in the kitchen, and too many different personalities. And maybe it's not your ideal audience even that's giving you that feedback. It's a friend, it's your mom, it's your cousin. And you have to also consider that you have to take that emotion out of who's critiquing you because maybe that is not your person that you need to actually be marketing to or selling to. So that's where that process can get tricky.
Ooh, so. That makes a lot of sense because you're right. definitely sharing it with family is going to be a totally different opinion than those that would actually resonate with what it is that you're doing yeah. and either understand what you do already or could potentially be a client in the future. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense because that I can, like, thinking back to when I redid my brand, I shared a couple with my sisters, but everything else actually went to like other coaches and yeah. entrepreneurs. Like that was where I ended up sharing a lot of my stuff versus personal friends and things like that. So that makes
everybody
a lot of sense.
Wants validation. Everybody wants to make sure everybody like likes it and has a good opinion. But at the end of the day, if you're, you know, sending something to your cousin or your daughter or your mother, and they're like, no, it's not you. It doesn't remind me of you, but you're not, yes, we want an aspect of you, but we also want you to make money and attract your clientele. So mm-hmm. that can get into some people's heads. Then they second guess it, question it, but you have to go back to, yes, there should be an essence of you in it, but you also are trying to make money and target not your cousin or your.
Yeah, right. Definitely. And yeah. if you think about it, I mean, when you're in this journey of being an entrepreneur anyway, who you are becoming can be completely different from how your family sees you. You know, your family may see you in one light because that's how you've been most mm-hmm. of your life around them. But if you are already growing into somebody different, they're not seeing that piece of you. They're seeing what they've already built in their head of mm-hmm. you. And so that makes perfect sense why, you know, somebody could say that doesn't seem like you. And it's like, well, that's because you have an old version of me, but this is where I am and this is where I'm going. Like, this is the version I want to be. So I could definitely see how that could be swayed, and not to any fault of theirs. It's just, you know, I mean, I do it with my kids. My youngest one is 16, and I had a moment just the other day where we were talking about something and it like hit me like a brick wall that I was like, oh my God, he's almost 18. Like he's almost an adult. He's not, you know, I still talk to him. We're open about it, but I guess how I visualize him is still like, you know, 13, like 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And it was this moment that it like really slapped me. And I was like, wow. Okay, I haven't really been seeing him for like who he is now. I have this image of who he was because that like this is where I want him to be. And it was so eye-opening. Like I had to take a step for a second and like breathe. I was like, oh no, my kids are growing. you know, but it's so funny. Like I never would have thought about that. You're right. You do have to be very careful who you are showing it to and being aware of their opinions. Like I think that's another thing that we get stuck on is you want to take their opinions kind of, for lack of better terms, at surface value mm-hmm. so that like you can hear what they're saying and hopefully someone will give you feedback of like, this resonates because of this. But then you also have to, like, if it makes you feel bad or it makes you feel icky, then like it probably isn't because of you. Right. It's because of their opinion and their perception that's behind that. Like that's another whole aspect. And I think that takes being confident in yourself and the direction that you know that you want to go versus mm-hmm. kind of allowing other people to put their opinions on you. Not that they're doing it on purpose, but it does happen when people are sharing opinions and sharing their input with stuff that it's so easy to then take that belief and go, oh, well, maybe that could be me, or maybe that is how I do this. And it's truly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the end of the day too, you also want to love your brand and not have somebody influence that feeling mm-hmm. too, because, you know, there's no right or wrong way. I mean, there's other brand designers and creatives that might say something different than I do. It's more of a personal opinion and my expertise in being a designer for 20 years and, you know, knowing all what I've learned from people is that there's so many ways to look at a brand, because yes, it's important for your target audience. It's important to stand out against your competition, to, you know, use a style and a font that's going to articulate what you're trying to get across in your brand. But because I do work with a lot of people that have a personal brand as well, it does still have to reflect you. So it's finding that balance, because at the end of the day, again, if you show it to your cousin and they're like, no, it's not you, I don't like it, but it's got an essence of you, and it's your audience, you don't want to have this brand that you're not fully and 100% confident in, because mm-hmm. the more you love it, the more you're proud of it, the more you will promote it, talk about it, share it. I mean, I love on brand. I happen to be fortunate enough to create my own brand and have that capability too. But I've got my OB behind me. I've got merch that I wear all the time. I'm covered to toe in it in just my loungewear, or, you know, I've got, you know, hats, bathing suits, flip-flops. And it's just because I love the brand that I've created. You know, notebooks everywhere. Like, so you want to see something that you also love yourself and you're so confident in that you just show up unapologetically. This is me. This is my brand. And be so recognizable, and have something that is a cohesive system that you can extend to all these other items that people are like, oh yeah, that's on brand, or oh yeah, you know, like that, that's what you want to leave, is that lasting impression, and have something you are 100% confident in and love.
I love that. I think that that's where it can get frustrating, especially for people like me, that like, it's, we have a really hard time seeing it, because I know that I got to one point in the process where I was like, I mean, this will work. This will be fine. And I was so blessed to, like you said, having an amazing designer who recognizes that. And she was like, well, I'm going to let you sit on it for another 24 hours because I don't feel like you love it. And if you don't love it, then we're not doing it. And I was like, oh, I just want it to be over with. But
I've had situations like that too. I'm like, I will do whatever it takes to get you to love this and be happy. Because if you're feeling any sort of bit like this is not you, and it's not anything against any brand designer, creatives, or graphic designers' capabilities, it's maybe there's a disconnect or miscommunication of mm-hmm. really understanding, and maybe there's just having to dig a little bit deeper. But I definitely don't agree. And, you know, I have a process where I'm like, okay, you get two rounds of edits and then it's extra. To be honest, I want to just make sure it's perfect and you love it. So, you know, as long as we're not going to round seven, or round eight, which has never really happened, maybe once, but I will do my best to make sure that you are walking away with something that you really do love. And that still can be simple too. It's just each time too, you have something that is created that maybe something is off about it. It's a learning curve to find out, okay, what's not working? What is, what do we need to like mm-hmm. reshape here?
Yeah. And that's why it's so important for you to have conversations with the people that you are hiring to make sure that you guys are on the same level, right? That you guys have some of the same understandings, or you have some of the same things that connect you to it. Because if you just choose the first person because they're cheap and they can get it done, then you completely lose that connection, especially when you are, like you were saying, you're building a personal brand, and your personal brand is you represent mm-hmm. it represents your company, but it's you as well. There has to be that relationship piece and aspect to it, and that connectivity. Otherwise your brand is here and you're mm-hmm. way over here trying to explain to it and make the connection, and you shouldn't have to do that if everything is tied in together. So it's so important to make sure that you match with the person that you are, that is doing your design. That's a big one that I really realized as well. So
well, there has to be a comfort level too. And that's why I say it's all relationship building, because I've pride myself in having a great track record. I've only had two people that have not even given me a second chance, but the second person has gave me a second chance. Because I think that's not fair necessarily, because it is building that relationship out, and it is building that trust to be like, hey, maybe let's keep working a little bit more and mm-hmm. give me the opportunity to make this so perfect for you so I can keep my 100% record of making people happy. Because honestly, I do what I do because I love to have such an impact on people, going back to that whole people pleasing. But I really do find, I mean, there's a level where I have to keep boundaries up and it's a work in progress. But what lights me up is to bring people's visions to life and make them so happy that they're like, oh, I love this so much. And now I can go on and like make money. That's the ultimate goal for everybody, is to make a business, make a living, make that goal or that future, whatever you have, but be able to do that and have me be a part of that to set you up to be successful in that way. So I think, you know, you're going to hurt my feelings if you say you don't want to give me a shot or work harder, but you're not going to hurt my feelings if it's not quite there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that one. Well, I could continue to talk to you for hours, Kim. So we may just have to have you come back later and share more of your expertise on choosing your brand. And some of the things that you're doing for the creatives out there as well is absolutely amazing. I love that you are helping others that want to be in this business really be able to see and build it the way that they are wanting to as well. So, you know, as we come to a close, one of the things I ask all of my guests is, do you happen to have a quote or piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't really have a quote, but advice is just learning from others. I think that is, you know, not being scared to take chances on other people and not do it all yourself. That was the biggest shift I had in my business, to not stay in this rut of like, how do I get there? What do? I know I have this like big goals and dreams and visions. But taking that time to invest in myself and my business, for anybody, if you're just wanting to have these next step goals, is to invest in yourself and work with somebody who can help guide you there.
Yeah, definitely. It's super important. So, well, Kim, I can't thank you enough again for all of the amazing information. And, you know, for anybody else that's out there that is looking for brand design, tell everybody then how can they connect with you? How can they find you? How can they be in your world?
Yeah. So I am on all the social media platforms, but Instagram is the one that I personally hang out the most, which is @on_brand_designs. And then my website is just onbranddesigns.com. And those are the best ways to get a hold of me. I've got all my services, my course information. I have a For Designers page on there. And then a favorites page too, where I have all of the software that I love to help systematize and streamline my business and all of that on there. So
nice.
Yeah. So that was a big input into, or a big reason why I did create the course too, is learning from people, also what didn't work for me as a creative, and knowing what systems, processes, and programs as a creative person made more sense to me, because too technical goes
no. And there's so many options, many options out there everywhere. So well, Kim, thank you again so much for being a part of the podcast today. I hope that everybody else got some amazing information and you were taking notes. So Kim, thank you again for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. And to everybody else out there, you know, I hope that you really think about your brand, whether it's you personally, or it's for your business, or it's how you perform in your corporate job, because you should have your brand of who you are, right? And I think that that's something that we need to focus on as individuals, is getting back to who our brand is, who we are, and enjoying that individuality. So I hope that you guys got some wonderful tips from this one. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat.
Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.